For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is February the 8th. We are starting Parshas Ki Sisa on page 484. So with the closing of Teruma and Tetzaveh, we have completed the general construction of the Mishkan, including the clothing of the Kohanim. And also we discussed what the Miluim, what the inauguration of the, or the inception of the Kohanim would look like. Parashat Kisisa begins with a few points that are still remaining to be discussed about some of the more detailed parts of the Mishkan that we haven't mentioned yet. So the first thing is going to be about the Machatzis HaShekel, the half shekel. After that, we'll talk about the Kiyar, that would be the basin, the sink from which they're going to wash. And then we will discuss how to make the Shemen HaMishka, the anointing oil, and also the Ketores, the incense. Those are things which we haven't discussed how to make them yet, and we'll discuss them as we go along. But the first point here is famously the Machatzis HaShekel, the half shekel that every Jew had to give every year. We read the beginning of Parashas Ki Sisa every year before Purim. In before Adar. The Shabbos prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar, or if Rosh Chodesh Adar is on Shabbos, then the Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read Parshas Shkolim, the parsha, the paragraph of giving the half shekel. That is this first paragraph here on page 484 of Parshas Ki Sisa is the part that we read for Parshas Shkolim. Happens to be that Parshas Shkolim is this coming Shabbos, as it is the Shabbos prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar. Why do we read it at the onset of Rosh Chodesh Adar? Because the Machatzis HaShekel, the half shekel, had to be paid by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, by the beginning of the year as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You had to have in your half shekel. So for the month prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Sanhedrin would send out reminders. They would send out text messages and all kinds of reminders to get people to send in their half shekel. So we, as a zecher, as a remembrance to that, today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we don't have the Torah law of giving a half shekel. Although we do have a zecher to it, we have a remembrance to it, but as a remembrance to the fact that we were warned about it a month prior to Nisan, we also read it a month prior to Nisan. And it is read this coming Shabbos as the Maftar, meaning after we read the regular Parsha, which is this week is Parshas Mishpatim, after we finish the entire Parsha, we read Parshas Shekolim, this paragraph here, as the Maftar, as the next Aliyah prior to the Haftorah. We also have a special Haftorah this week because of the same reason that has to do with Parshas Shkolin. We'll discuss what we do today in lieu of the half shekel after we see what the half shekel is in the Parsha here. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, Hashem says to Moshe, saying, Kisisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael lifkudeihem. When you count the heads of the Jewish people according to their numbers, which means when you take a census of the Jewish people, V'nasnu ish kofer nafsho l'Hashem bivkodosam. They will give each man a, how do they translate it here?
An atonement
for their soul to Hashem when they are counted. V'lo yevohem negef bivkodosam. And there will not be a plague when they are counted. The implication is, if they don't do it this way, then there will be a plague. In order to avoid a plague against the Jewish people, if you would count them, just count heads, then that can bring on, God forbid, a plague. So in order to avoid that plague, we give a half shekel.
So why is it an atonement for a soul when Good. The soul is perfect?
Good. Okay, well...
Souls are not perfect
once a person does sins. Zayitnu, this is what they should give. So we didn't say what they should give it. They just said we should give an atonement for the soul. What is that? This is what they should give. Kol ha'ovir al ha'pekudim, all who pass by the counters, the censors, machatzis ha'shekel, half a shekel, b'shekel ha'kodesh, using the sanctified shekel, the shekel that is used in the Beis HaMikdash. How much is this shekel? Esrim geira hashekel. The shekel is worth 20 geira. The Torah is giving us some greater understanding of what this shekel is, because apparently there could be different shekelim, different types. This is the type that is 20 geira. How much of that do you give? Machatzis hashekel, half of that shekel, truma la Hashem, as a separation for Hashem. Kol ha'ovir al ha'pekudim, all who pass by the censors, miben esrim shana v'mala, from 20 years and up, yitain trumas Hashem, should give the separation for Hashem. Ha'ashir lo yarbeh, the wealthy will not increase, v'hadal lo yamit, and the poor will not decrease, mimachatzis ha'shekel, from half a shekel. Everybody must give exactly half a shekel, no more, no less. L'aseizes trumas Hashem, to give the truma of Hashem, L'chaper al nafsho seichem, to atone for your souls. Now, what do you do with the half shekel? What do you do with it? It's a lot of money. V'lakachto es kesef ha'kipurim, you, Moshe, should take the silver, the money of the atonement, me'eis b'nei Yisrael, from the Jewish people, v'nasata oso, and you shall place it al avodas o el moed, for the service of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle. It will be for the Jewish people as a remembrance before Hashem, lichaper al nafsho sechem, to atone for your souls. The term lichaper al nafsho sechem, to atone for your souls, appears regularly here with the machatzis hashekel. So clearly there is something going on here in addition to simply counting the Jewish people. In addition, it says Trumas Hashem, it says that there should be a separation for Hashem three times. Also, there's something happening with this money that is more than simply counting the people. So, let's understand what was done with the money annually when they gave the Machatzis HaShekel. You see, here, the way the Torah introduces the machatzis ha-shekel, the half-shekel, is as a tool when a census is taken. So you want to count the Jewish people. Torah doesn't tell you why you would want to count the Jewish people. Just says, should you want to count the Jewish people, or when you want to count the Jewish people, this is the way to do it. Don't count heads, for God forbid there will be a plague. Rather, have them all give half a shekel. And that's the way to take the census. But the fact of the matter is that the mitzvah of giving half a shekel was annual, whether or not they were taking a census. Meaning, the half shekel is a way of taking a census. But even if you're not taking a census, you have to give a half shekel every year.
So wouldn't that be the same thing? If we took a half a shekel every year, then you would know how many Jews there are.
True.
Males, 20 and up.
I mean, we'll get to who's giving in a moment. But let's say you wanted to take a census in the middle of the year. They already gave their half shekels. Now it's the middle of the year, you want to count them again. Got to give another half shekel. Or, let's say you don't really care how many people there are. It's irrelevant. everybody's supposed to give the half shekel. It's true, now you'll find out the number. But even if you're not interested in the number, everybody's got to pay the half shekel. So, it's also curious that the half shekel is a half shekel. Wouldn't you think it would make more sense? Everybody give a shekel. Everybody give a dollar. Yeah. To make a half shekel means you got to worry about change. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not easy. Mm-hmm. It means people have to think about what they're doing. So the method of the Torah for counting the people is cumbersome. Mm-hmm. Half shekel. Mm-hmm. And we know that... Well, let me ask the question before I say what we know. So, somehow, counting heads, God forbid, triggers a plague, a negev.
Why is that?
Why is that? Right? Now, however we're going to answer that question, we then have to deal with the fact that if you don't count heads, rather you count half shekels, it doesn't cause a plague. So, evidently, knowing the number doesn't cause a plague. Because if that would be the problem, then giving a half a shekel wouldn't solve the problem.
Right.
So what's the point of counting in the first place, then, if you don't care about the number?
Right. So it must be we do care about the number. And it must be the number is not triggering the plague. Because if the number is triggering the plague, it doesn't matter how you count, whether you give a half shekel or not, it should trigger a plague. So it would seem that the problem is not knowing the number. That's not the problem. It's okay to know the number. The problem is the method used to get the number. Now, we have an example. This is what I was going to say before. We know that later on in history, Shaul HaMelech, King Shaul, wants to count the number of soldiers in his army. He's doing this for a very specific battle that he's about to have. With whom? What's the famous battle with?
With Amalek.
With Amalek. And the way that he counts them is he has every soldier come and take a sheep from the corral of the king and then give the sheep back to the palace. And in so doing, he counts them. So rather than counting heads, he counts sheep.
That's where it falls asleep, right?
Good.
I think it puts everyone on the same playing field.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. Okay, good, good, good. Now, good. That's a very good point. If you want to see where that is, you don't have to turn, but if you want to see where that is in the Haftorah for Parashat Zohar, which is read before Purim. We're going to read that in a few weeks. So the Haftorah for Parashat Zohar, again, only if you want to see it, it's optional. If you want to see it, it is on page 1214 and 1215. So on 1214, in Pasuk Daled, verse 4, it says, Vayeshama Shaul es ha'am. Shaul had all the people summoned. Vayifkedeim, and he counted them, batilaim, through lambs. He had each person take a lamb, Rashi explains over there in Sefer Shmuel, and then gave it back to the palace. Masayim elef ragli, it was 200,000 infantry, Vaseras halafim es ish Yehuda, and 10,000 men from Yehuda. So the way he did that was through everybody taking a lamb and then giving it back. So it just seems so pointless. You may as well just count the people. What are you gaining by everybody taking an item and counting the items, which is what we're doing with the half shekel? So the Rinja just suggested that the reason why it's a good thing to use an item is because it evens the playing field. The advantage of counting items rather than counting people is that it evens the playing field. Like we say with the half shekel, you give exactly a half shekel. No more, no less. Half a shekel. Whether you can afford 1,000 shekelim, or whether you have trouble affording even a tenth of a shekel, you got to give a half a shekel. Everybody's got to give a half a shekel. So it evens the playing field. Everybody's the same. Shaul didn't use a half a shekel. He used lambs. He used sheep. But that also evened the playing field. Everybody gave a sheep. So it definitely evens the playing field. There's something else that it does besides even the playing field.
What do you mean even the playing field? Because they're the same value?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Nobody's worth more or less.
Right.
But there's something else that happens when you use the same item from every single person. It causes...
Well, there's no jealousy? Or?
Well, that's true. But it also creates anonymity. Right? You can't tell whose half shekel is whose. You can't tell whose lamb is whose. If everybody's just taking a lamb from the corral of the king and giving it back, nobody knows whose is whose. When you're counting those items, everybody give in whatever the item is, but it's an item that everybody, it's the same one for everybody. Then you're no longer dealing with specific people. You're dealing with complete anonymity. It's all the same. Okay. Okay. Good. That's a good question. If Shaul could substitute the half shekel for sheep, so then use anything. Use a shard of wood. Right. So the truth is, what's that?
What they need is the money.
The silver.
Okay. So the truth is, when you're counting the Jews just for a particular reason, not for the purpose of the half shekel, you could use anything. That's what Shaul did. He used something entirely different. He used sheep. But if you're counting for the purpose of the half shekel, which we haven't discussed what the purpose is yet, then you have to use the half shekel. So there's two different issues over here. One issue is counting the people with an item that creates anonymity and evens the playing field. There's no better or worse, wealthier or less wealthy, bigger, smaller, stronger, weaker. There's none of that. It's all the same, number one. Number two, there's another issue which each year everybody has to give a half shekel. Everybody has to pay money. A tax, right. So what was the money used for?
The temple.
Was that?
We didn't have the temple.
Not yet. Well, the Mishkan was just built.
We had the Mishkan.
Okay. So the purpose of the half shekel was that throughout the year, we know that there are many offerings made in the Mishkan and also in the Beis HaMikdash. Many offerings are made. A lot of them are brought by individuals. A woman has a baby. She brings a sacrifice. It's her sacrifice. She has to bring a couple of birds. They're her birds. Someone does a sin. They have to bring either a sheep or a goat. There's an atonement. Person wants to thank Hashem. They bring an animal as a Thanksgiving offering. Those are all individual karbanos, individual offerings. But there were also many, many offerings that were communal. All the karbanos that were brought as musafim, the musaf of Shabbos, the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, the musaf of Yontif, all of that was brought by the community. The karban tamid, the sacrifices that were brought every single day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, those are communal sacrifices. The ketores, the incense that was offered, that's communal. The wine, the libations, communal. So where did it all come from? How did the Beis HaMikdash pay for these things? Well, the Beis HaMikdash could have held a campaign each year, a fundraising campaign to raise the money, which is fine. In fact, to build the Mishkan, Moshe does have a fundraising campaign to build the Mishkan. That could have been done, and different people would pledge different amounts, and you'd put out a journal with listing everybody's donations, and you know, and it would be you'd announce the pledges. You could do that, but the if you do that, then each person's chelek, each person's portion in the communal sacrifices would be different. So that if I gave $10, and my neighbor gave $15, then my neighbor has a larger portion of the communal sacrifices than I do. Now, no one's eating these sacrifices. The communal sacrifices are either completely burned or possibly eaten by the Kohen, but they're completely burned, generally speaking. So, it's not that he's going to eat more than me, but his merit in the communal sacrifices will be larger than mine. Torah says that's not the way we want it to be. Everybody's portion in the communal sacrifices must be the same. And therefore, there is a tax, a flat tax, for every, not every person, every male, 20 and up, has to give a half a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what is used to purchase all of the communal sacrifices. That no one can give more or less, so that everybody has the same amount. Now you understand that obviously, since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you can't give a half a shekel today. Where are you going to give it to? There is no Beis HaMikdash. There are no communal sacrifices. So today we have a zecher. We have a remembrance to the half shekel. And that is that we take a half a coin, meaning whatever the currency is in the country that you live. Here, of course, the currency is a dollar. So a half dollar, you take a half dollar and you give it to tzedakah. And that's what we do today as a remembrance. And the minhag, the custom, is to do it on the night of, on the afternoon before Purim. That's the minhag. The minhag is on Tainis Esther, right before Purim. The minhag is to do it then. And since not everybody has a half dollar, most shuls put a bin out on the bima with the machatzis hashekel, with a half dollar in there. You go up to the bin, you put in 50 cents, you acquire the half dollar, pick it up to acquire it. Now the half dollar is yours, and then you put it back in, and you donate it back to the shul.
We do that.
Next person does it also. Mm-hmm. The men do it. The men do it. Women don't have to do it because the half shekel was a mitzvah for the men. Now, the fact though is that the custom, the minhag, is to use 3 half dollars, not only 1 half dollar. So we have to explain why that is. So in a moment we'll explain why the minhag is to do 3 rather than only 1 half dollar. Okay, it says 3 times. You have to explain the 3 times are, though, right?
So I'm stuck back on half shekel from everybody, no plague. We did it, so we... Okay? So why couldn't you count your army? Couldn't you count...
We haven't explained that yet. You're right. Why would there have been a plague, and how are you avoiding it? Good. Okay, we're going to get back to that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Is that why also, I was told a while ago, that you're not supposed to count people.
Yes.
You go not one,
mm-hmm.
not, you know.
Yeah.
That's the way you...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about not one, but we try to do it differently than just counting heads.
So how do you do it?
I'll talk about that in a moment. Yeah.
I just want to comment while you've been talking. I keep thinking of funerals and burials, and isn't that the reason why we don't put flowers on graves, so that everyone, they're all the same, and the rich people are not the...
Interesting. I don't know.
That's what I was saying.
Interesting. I don't know. Good point.
So the money is used for purchasing of things for the temple. But it was being purchased from other Jews, right?
Yes. That's okay.
I just thought they would donate.
No, they could donate. They could donate, but the Beis HaMikdash was a lot of... I mean, it would make someone go broke. There's a lot of sheep. Mm-hmm. A lot of animals. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash processed a huge amount of animals... Birds, flour, incense, wine, a whole bunch.
Spices,
okay. Spices, you know. Bunch. Now, firewood. So there's a lot needed to keep the business going. Here, there are 3 different trumos Hashem, 3 different separations for Hashem. One is the regular half shekel that is given every year. But there were two other ones that were special only for this particular year. One of them was, if you'll recall, that when we talked about the Mishkan, so the Mishkan, the actual walls of the Mishkan was formed with vertical beams, wooden beams. These wooden beams were very tall, and at the bottom they were shaped into sockets, into prongs. In order for them to stand, these prongs were inserted into sockets. The sockets were made of silver. Each socket was made up there were 100 sockets, 100 silver sockets in the Beis HaMikdash. Each one was, to form each socket required 3,000 silver shkolim, melted down into sockets. 3,000. So 3,000 times 100 is 300,000. 300,000 full shkolim formed all the sockets. So that means how many half shkolim is 300,000 full shkolim? That's 600,000 half shkolim. So when the Jews, which is about how many men there were, so when the Jews donated the half shekel, they actually donated two different half shkolim. One was the regular half shekel for every year to purchase the sacrifices. This particular year, the Jews had a double tax. They also had to pay a second half shekel, and that was to form the adonim, the sockets. They were made from the half shekel of the second collection of half shekel. It actually was the first collection, but the two collections of half shekel.
Do you mind if I ask a question?
Go ahead.
How come we had money already?
We had tons of money.
No, we had a lot of gold and stuff from we were generously given by the
Egyptians. Yes.
How did we have a national money of the half shekel?
That's what you're saying. How do we mint coins? We didn't mint any coins.
We didn't mint any coins?
No.
How was it done?
Right. It must have been an existing coin. That's a good question.
Okay.
That's a good question. Yeah. That's a good question.
So was this a one-time thing for the socket?
Yes. Yeah, that was a one-time thing. Now, a third donation that was given that particular year and only that year was general donation of silver. And that, whoever had, could give less or more. That was just like all the other donations to the Mishkan, gold, copper, wool. Whoever had and wanted to donate could donate. So, silver also was donated for other things that were needed silver, other types of utensils that required silver in the construction of the Mishkan. So that particular year, normally there was only one donation of silver every year, half shkolim every year. That particular year, and only that year, there were three different donations. In order to remember those three different donations, we give $3.50 today. It's a minhag. It is not a mitzvah from the Torah. It is what we do to remember the half shekel. And therefore, most shuls will have, again, they'll have a bin on the bima, usually in the afternoon of Tainus Esther. They will have $3.50, usually taped or rubber banded together. They'll usually have a few of them, so several people can do it at once. They'll have it sitting in the bin. And the proper thing to do is to give $1.50 to the shul by putting in $1.50 into the bin. In so doing, you purchase the $3.50, raise them up to bekona them, to acquire them, and then donate them back to the shul, put them back in the bin. That's the general practice that is done based on the fact that in the Torah's time, actually not just the Torah's time, but in the Beis HaMikdash's time, it was only required for a man 20 years and older to do. Therefore, it is not required for those under 20 years old to do it. Certainly not, women do not have to do it.
If they want to, they can. Is it any age after 20?
After 20 and up, yeah. 20 and up, a man should do it. The although boys under 20 need not do it, but the minhag is that once someone begins to do it, they should not stop. So if a 15-year-old boy does it, he should continue. He shouldn't stop the next year. If a father does it on behalf of his 8-year-old son, he should continue doing it on behalf of his 8-year-old son until the boy is old enough to do it himself, until he's 20 years old. That is the minhag. It's the custom of the half shekel today. Now, why is it that there would be a plague when the Jews were counted if you didn't count using the half shekel or some other item? Why would there be a plague?
You're giving people value, then some people are worth more than others. So you're saying, well, this person's worth a lot, but maybe this person's not worth so much. So maybe... Yeah, why does he... You know, maybe... You're valuing the lines.
Okay.
So some people value to live longer than others. I don't know. I could guess.
So the Gemara says that whenever you count something, then there can be an ayin hara. There can be an evil eye. Now, we've talked about ayin hara before. Ayin hara means that people become jealous. Ayin hara is that if a person flaunts what they have, it can make other people jealous. And that jealousy creates an ayin hara, an evil eye. When a person counts something and knows exactly what it is, that can cause an ayin hara. But even without that, the Gemara also tells us, Eina bracha mitzuya. Bracha, blessing, is only found in something which is hidden from the eye. If you don't know how much is there, then there can be a bracha to increase it. Once you know how much it is, then to have a bracha to increase it is more difficult. There's a very simple explanation to this, although there's deeper explanations as well. But the very simple explanation is God doesn't do open miracles. So if I know my silo has 103 pounds of wheat in it, then it's not going to magically turn into 150 pounds of wheat. But if I don't know how much is in there, so God can do with it as He pleases. It's not going to be an open miracle because no one knew what it was before. So the less anybody knows about it, the better off you are regarding the possibility of it increasing. So if you count every penny, you know exactly how much money you have. It's not going to magically become more. But if you don't really know, all right. You know, so maybe it'll increase. Now, we are not advocating a person being irresponsible with their budget. But if a person has we'll use the analogy of a piggy bank, and they're just putting money in, just leave it. Don't count it. The less you count it, the more likely it is that it will increase on its own. When the Jews are counted, and they're counted by heads, then a plague can happen. It seems that that plague is a result of there being a large number. You count a lot of people, you start to think, wow, a lot of people. Whoa, we've got a lot of people here. You start to, there's a certain sense of greatness, of growth. Look at what we are. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that can trigger a certain scrutiny from heaven. Do you really deserve to have that many people? Does everybody here deserve to be here? Is this something that everybody should be proud of? When a person is openly proud of something, it can cause a scrutiny. And that scrutiny, God forbid, could cause a plague. We'd rather be under the radar screen. We don't like to flaunt ourselves. We don't like to flaunt what we have. Better to go under the radar screen. And counting is not under the radar screen. Counting is automatically front and center. Now you know. Now you know how much it is. And people can feel good about it. People can feel proud. People can can have a certain sense of pride, and that can not always, but it can trigger, God forbid, a plague. Now, if that were true, though, then counting using another item shouldn't solve the problem. Because the fact of the matter is, we counted the Jewish people. The Torah says there were 603,550 men above the age of 20. Well, now we know. So we can feel proud, we can feel a certain sense of greatness, and why doesn't that cause scrutiny? So the answer, or one answer, can be that once we've substituted an item for the person, and that item is anonymous, that item does not represent a person, it's just a half coin, it's just a lamb, that's all it is, and we can't align each item with a particular person, so everybody is under the radar screen. Everybody is some way mean ha'ayin, hidden from the eye. We've successfully counted, but not put anybody front and center in the limelight, because we've substituted a person for an object, and the object is the same for everybody. So although it's true at the end of the day we do have a final count of 603,550 men, it's true, but we've done it in a manner that it simultaneously promotes anonymity. We are in fact saying at one time, we need to know how many people there are, but we don't want to stand out. We don't want to promote ourselves. So we give something which preserves anonymity, which at the same time lets us know how many people there are. That's how we straddle the fence when we count.
It's teaching humility.
It is teaching humility, exactly right.
Like
so what the question was asked, when you count people today, how should we count? So correct, we should not count 1, 2, 3, 4, because that's exactly what we're not supposed to do. So what do we do? So you could have everybody put in a penny and count the pennies, but that can be very cumbersome. Let's say the most common reason why you need to count people is to see if you have a minion. It's time to daven, and you're in shul, and it doesn't look very full, and you want to make sure you have a minion. So you like count heads. So you're going to go around collecting pennies and count the pennies. It just gets very cumbersome. So a very common method is, rather than counting with a number, one counts using a pasuk. It happens to be that the pasuk of Hoshea, Es Amecha, Uvarich Es Nachasecha, Urim Menasim Ad Olam, that pasuk happens to have 10 words in it. So if you go Hoshea, Es Amecha, Uvarich Es Nachasecha, Urim Menasim Ad Olam, we have 10, we can daven. Now, how is that solving this problem? Because at the end of the day, I'm really counting words. I'm not counting people. I'm assigning a word to each person, but once I'm done, let's say I only get up to Hoshea es Amecha Varech es Nachal Asecha Urim. So, how many more do I need? Well, I got to think through it. How many is that? Well, let me see. Hoshea es Amecha Varech es Nachal Asecha Urim. 7. I still need to count the words to know how many people there are. So, it preserves some degree of anonymity, even though you're counting people. The not one, not two, not three business never resonated with me, because why is it any different than going 1, 2, 3? I mean, you're just counting people. So
how would you count when somebody does not appear?
Yeah, right. So I would use another parallel thing, either a pasuk or something like that. We're in the car and we want to make sure all the kids are in the car. So the kids will go, Jack and Jill went up the hill, right? Something like that. But it's something other than numbers in order to count the people. That would fulfill what's happening over here. Historically, there is an episode, unfortunately, towards the end of David HaMelech's life, where he makes a mistake and does count the people by number, counts the people. there is a reason why he made that mistake. Hashem made him make that mistake for other things that happened. And as a result of counting the people by number, there is a plague that takes place. So this warning that there shouldn't be a plague does actually happen in the time and towards the end of David HaMelech's life.
Do we have
census? Yes.
Is this in Israel today?
Oh, today? I assume they do. I mean, most countries have censuses. I'm sure they do.
Yeah, but aren't there people who won't take it in Israel?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know.
I think I had heard that from someone.
Okay.
And then the fact of in Egypt, we became enslaved because the Egyptians started being felt threatened because the Jews were becoming too numerous.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have anything to do with
Well, it doesn't say how many Jews there were. It just says that the...
But they started being scared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is true. That is true. So that's why it's an atonement for their souls. The reason why it's an atonement for their souls is because the money was used for the karbanos, for the sacrifices, which means... It's an atonement for your soul, because that's what sacrifices do. They atone for people's sins. So that's why it is emphasized here that it was an atonement for everybody's soul. The money that was collected annually, so they collected half a shekel, and it ended up being a lot of money. Now, then they would have to use that money to purchase sacrifices. So what they would do is they would take all the money and put it into one room, and then three times a year they would go in, those who were in charge of the treasury would go in and take a trumas halishcha. They would take a portion of those half shekels. So they would take a certain amount of those half shekels, and those would be what they would spend for that segment of the year. Then they would do it again and spend that money, and then again and spend that money.
It says here that therefore it was forbidden to count head.
That's right. That's right. It was forbidden because the problem is it would cause a plague. That's right. So those the half shekels were used to, as we said, to purchase karbanos. There was always more money than was needed for the karbanos, and the rest of the money was used for other communal needs, like fixing various things in the Beis HaMikdash, fixing if the walls around the city needed to be bolstered or whatever it is. There was always a communal fund that was used to fix things up, roads, etc. And it came from the tax that was on the Jewish people every single year to give that half shekel. Now, the question of the currency is a very good question. In fact, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu needed a visual to know what this half shekel was supposed to look like. That's why it says in Pasuk Yigimel verse 13, Ze yitnu. This is what they should give. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, that Hashem showed Moshe a matbeya shel esh, a coin of fire that looked like a half shekel, so he would see exactly what it looked like. So it is a good question, if it had to look like a very specific type of thing, how do they get those very specific coins? Did they melt them down and mint them themselves in the Midbar, which would be difficult to do, or some other method? It's a good question. I didn't really answer that question. That's a very fair question about the currency itself. Any other questions on the half shekel?
But there was never... I mean, some people were poor because we're supposed to have poor people, so we can, or the widows, but the Kohanim, with whatever was left over, there was no... they didn't need to take care of any person.
There were other funds that were used for tzedakah. This was not a tzedakah fund.
Okay.
This was specifically for communal needs. The collection for tzedakah was also done, but not from this money. Yeah. Okay. Now, the next part is going to be about the kiyar, about the basin. I'm going to end a little bit early tonight, just because my voice is still, as you can hear, is not yet 100%. And I want to strain it more than we're already doing it, so we're going to stop here. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.